When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Online, KFIAM640.com/listen. And yes, I think that this is still the John and Ken Show, even though Ken has retired. And it will be on Monday when I also come back from 1 to 4 p.m. And then on Tuesday, we roll up the curtain on the brand new John Cobalt Show. So I'm here to kind of sprinkle the last dirt over the remains of the John and Ken Show.
Oh.
I know that's probably a downer way of announcing that, huh? Hey, Deborah Mark, you just did a story about the Christmas trees.
Yeah.
And we're at about the natural Christmas tree versus the artificial Christmas tree. We've always been natural Christmas tree people my whole life, but we're now having the conversation. We're really having a serious conversation about, is it time to go plastic? And here's why. Because last year, we got tree shamed by an 8-year-old. We went to a tree lot. We did. We went to a tree lot, and after having a coronary, after seeing how much they were charging for the natural, it was like $340.
Although the artificial ones are pretty expensive too. The big
yeah,
ones.
But then you can, you know, roll it over year
yeah,
after year.
True.
This thing was going to be in the house for tops 10 days. Because I'm a big January 1, everything goes away. Everything gets packed up, the lights are down, everything's gone. It's in the car to go to storage on January 2nd. So buy a tree, a little kind of Charlie Brown Christmas tree, kind of bare. It was a rotten Christmas tree. It was small and rotten, and it was $120 stinking dollars.
Whew.
So I'm carrying it to the car. By the way, one hand, easy. And as we're walking out of a family, a little Norman Rockwell family comes in with the, you know, cherry cheeked blonde girl. And she says, look, daddy, look at that little tiny tree. And I turn around and I go, $120, sweetheart, $120.
Grinch.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I was, I had an uncle, it was actually my mother's uncle, who sold Christmas trees. And my brother and I, we worked on the Christmas tree lot. And it was a real life lesson. I'm telling you, this is like 55 years ago, some staggering, shocking amount of time ago. And we used to work on the Christmas tree lot with him. And the first thing we did was he gave us a drill, like one of those ones you crank with your hand, and we'd drill holes in the trunks of the bare sections of the trees. And then with a glue pot, we would dip branches into the glue pot and fill in the bare spots. So that he could sell these trees, you know, for top price. So we were basically, it was like Rogaine for Christmas trees is really what it was, like a hair transplant. And then the worst tree, an unsalvageable tree, he says, let me show you something. He put a sold tag on it, and he put it off on the side all by itself. And he says, watch, we're going to sell that one first. And so my brother and I were watching, and sure enough, some guy comes in. He walks around the lot. He's got his family over there, and then he comes up to Harry. My Uncle Harry says, hey, Harry, how much for that one? He goes, I can't. It's sold. He slips him a $5 bill. Harry walks over, makes a big scene out of snapping the sold tag off, and then, you know, gives us the head shake to tie it to the roof of the car. And when the guy leaves, he says, people don't like to make decisions. And somebody had already decided that was worth having.
That's crazy.
It's kind of human nature, isn't it? It's kind of fascinating.
That is.
All right. Now, somebody explain, am I Typhoid McIntyre that I've wiped out KFI's lineup? Because I was here yesterday. Handel wasn't. Conway wasn't. Obviously, Ken retired to avoid running into me. John was out. All right. And now I didn't see Bertolucci either, for that matter. Today, Gary and Shannon are out. Conway's still out. John's still out.
Mo will be
Mo
out.
Mo is out. Is it me? I mean, just
it's
tell
you.
Me. Just
it's you.
Tell me not to fill in. All right. Save you a lot of hassle. Anyway, I am happy to be here, and we're going to be here till 4 o'clock. There's a lot to talk about, including we're on Ohtani watch because word is now bubbling through the baseball universe that he's going to make a decision today. Later on, we'll talk with David Vasse, Mr. Dodgers. And we got a lot to talk about, including goodbye newspapers. And this is an interesting phenomenon because you got half the country is actually rooting for newspapers to fold. So we're going to talk with Bob Rawich about that in just a bit. But I wanted to start with this story. Dan Walters wrote about it. John and Ken actually were talking about it on the last show, that the California budget is worse than my domestic family budget. It is a disaster. And it's probably worse than your family budget, too. And this comes just a couple of days, 18 hours after Gavin Newsom was on a television debating with Ron DeSantis. And he was, boasting about California has no peers. California dominates. It's the biggest economy. It's booming. It leads the nation. And as it turns out, the legislative analyst's office 18 hours later says not so fast. As a matter of fact, the November income tax filing deadline 7 months later than the original date passed, and tax receipts for 2022 could finally be counted. And they found out that we're $26 billion under projections. And quote, our updated revenue outlook anticipates collections to come in $58 billion below the Budget Act projections across the 2022, 2023 to 2024 and 25 budgets. So this is a staggering budget deficit. And we have a $30 billion rainy day fund. And this will swallow that and still leave the state of California over a 2-year period in the $40 to $50 billion range in the red. Now, look, I got a BA in English from Stonehill College in Massachusetts. I'm not allowed to take the checkbook out of the house. And the fact that I even still have a checkbook tells you where I'm at, okay? Because I know the rest of you aren't using them. So I'm the last person in the world to do higher math on budgets and things like that. But even I can figure out that we got a problem here because this happens again and again and again. Our tax intake in the state of California is enormous. We're bringing in huge amounts of money. The problem is, once again, we are spending faster than we are even taking in the huge amounts of money. And when we have good days, really good times, because we are so dependent on the top wage earners for the revenues for the state of California, because we are feeding from the top of the food chain economically. When the markets are tough, and we had some market dips in 2022 particularly, what happens is with capital gains go down, and the state of California all of a sudden has these giant budget holes. Unfortunately, they passed bills up in Sacramento, spending appropriations that were going forward as if the good times would never end. And we never learn from this. We never, ever learn from this. And our budget, by the way, the budget for California is an astronomer's number. The budget is $310.8 billion. 310, that's what, a third of $1 trillion. It consists of $225.9 billion from the general fund, $82 billion from special funds, and $2.9 billion from bond funds. And the irony with that is that we have a budget of $310.8 billion and nobody's happy. It's stunning because I feel like if I went nuts and I took all my credit cards and I went to the mall and I just, you know, caution be damned and just went on a spending binge, you know, go down to the Porsche dealership and then just go buy anything you can think of. I would think that, all right, I know that the piper must be paid, but at least I'll have a good time in the process. We spent $310 billion. And everybody's complaining that there's not enough money. The roads aren't fixed. The sidewalks aren't fixed. The schools don't have enough money. We don't have money to clean the environment. We can't do anything about the homeless. And on and on and on it goes. So I don't know what we're getting for our $310 billion or how it's being spent. But once again, we know they didn't budget properly. And now there's going to be cuts and draconian cuts. The schools are going to feel it. Everybody's going to feel it. Everybody's going to be pointing fingers again. And we'll do the same thing again. The economy will improve. Money will start flowing in, and I guarantee you somebody sitting behind this microphone in the near future will be having the exact same conversation with you again because it's the 20th time I've had this conversation. All right, it's 116. Lots to talk about, including, are you too old to have a cat? I'm McIntyre in for John and Ken.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
McIntyre in for John and Ken, and the John Cobalt Show debuts on Tuesday, and I will be back on Monday, assuming I haven't lost my mind because the cats at home have driven me crazy. You know the crazy cat lady? You hear the phrase, crazy cat lady? Well, apparently a study published in Queensland, the University of Queensland, Australia, actually Chris Merrill and Layla were talking about this earlier today in for Gary and Shannon, that the concept of a crazy cat lady, apparently there's a parasite that cats carry that can literally cause schizophrenia. That's what the science says. I have two cats right now, and two is the maximum number. In fact, I've talked to Timmy Conway about this many times. The third cat is the gateway cat. If you cross the line from two to three cats, there's nothing stopping you from ending up with 48.
The gateway cat.
It is. It's true. It's the gateway cat. If you go for three, it's Katie bar the door. You're just going to be one of those people that's having dump trucks put kitty litter in the driveway, and you need a coal shovel to bring it into the litter boxes. But I've got two, and I'm pretty rigorous about keeping it at that number. But here's the deal. We lost one about a little over a year ago, and my wife and I were talking about it and said, considering our age and considering the fact that we know we're going to replace the cat that just died, instead of waiting an appropriate amount of time, we just went out and got one. All right, we just got a replacement, Lenny the cat. It's an orange cat. And but then when I was driving home with the cat from the rescue place, and by the way, we didn't rescue the cat. We went and bought the cat from these people who had it. All right, it's not like I had to put on gloves and boots or climb a tree or something to rescue the cat, go into a burning building and come out with the cat. I just went down and bought it. But nonetheless, I got the cat, and then I started doing the math, and I realized this cat could easily live 15 years. That's a pretty common phenomenon for cats, especially an indoor cat. I got coyotes out where I live, so we lost one once. No more cats going outside. So I started doing the math, though. I said, if this cat lives 15 years, I'll be 80. I'll be 80 when the cat is 15. I said, this could be my death cat. This could be the last one. And by the way, anybody who's lived with cats know that they periodically try to kill you anyway. You know, you're walking across the tile floor somewhere and they come running right between your legs and you trip over them. And I don't think it's an accident. I think they're out to get us. But that aside, here's what I found out. Cut to, we're having dinner with some friends, one of whom had just turned 80. And by the way, he's in better shape than I am. And odds are he's going to outlive me. But they went to get a cat, and the rescue wouldn't give it to him. They wouldn't give him the cat because they're too old. Now, they don't want to say that. But I'm hearing this from people all over the place, that some of these rescues, they look at the potential adoptee and they say, I don't know, you know, what happens if they go down? Who's going to take care of the cat? Because people say, oh, my kids will take care of the cat, but they're not vetting the kids. So now, like the old days of you know, the blacklisted Hollywood writers, you got to get a beard to go in front for you to get a pussycat or to get a puppy. because if you got too many, I mean, this town has always been tough to get old in because of Hollywood. You know, God forbid you have a gray hair or a nose hair or something like that. You're done. That's what radio is for, by the way. You can hang out here forever. But you know, if you're in the movies or television, then you gotta moisturize. But now apparently you have to have plastic surgery and some Botox in order to go to the animal rescue to get a cat. And you know, I know that this is a grim way of putting it, but I had a police officer, an LAPD officer, tell me this on the air a bunch of years ago, and I just choose to believe it, even though it could be a Friday the 13th sequel, that if you do go down, if you should go, especially if you own dogs, but if you go down and you live alone and you're there for a while, you know, and you got a dog and no one's coming around, you live alone, you're one of those people and no one's looking after you, and there's certainly nobody coming to look after the dog. The dog, you know, will nudge you for a couple of days. And then on day three or four, the exposed portions of the flesh are now just a buffet. And you basically become the final meal. And the police officer told me that they occasionally find heads in the other room. I know that they look at you with those big, literally puppy dog eyes, and they're adorable. But I'm just saying, after three or four days with no food, you start to look like those old cartoons where the fat guy's the hamburger and the skinny guy's the hot dog and they're chasing themselves, they're chasing each other around the palm tree island. That's what your dog does. They'll turn on you. Anyway, just put that on the list of age discrimination of all the places that, and you would think, we just had the story, it was a big story about how the animal shelters are euthanizing all of these dogs that they're overflowing with pets, cats and dogs that need adoption. And the rescues are saying, no, sorry, you're a little too old for this. It's like you're Menudo and you hit puberty. You got to get a new group to sing in. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up, the newspapers are dying. That's not exactly a secret, but what is the world going to be like when the last one goes away? We may, maybe not me, but you may live to see that day. Your kids will live to see that day. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But also, I want to invite you tomorrow, Saturday, December 9th, right there on Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. I will be at David K. Books, K-A-Y-E, David K. Books on Ventura Boulevard between Shoup and Fallbrook. You can't miss it. It's got a big yellow sign. It's on the north side of the street. I'm going to be signing copies of my book, Frank Shadow. And I would love to say hello to you if you want to come on out and say hello.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Online at KFIAM640.com/listen. And coming up in just a bit, we're going to get into that the arrest of that bizarre and possibly a hate-fueled attack of a grandfather in Calabasas who was punched while walking with his grandchild in a stroller by a guy who may have done this before. And I'll tell you what employees don't want from their bosses at the Christmas party. So we'll get into all that in just a bit. In the Los Angeles Daily News, Orange County Register, et cetera, the Southern California News Group, which I write, by the way, have been writing a column for many years. There was an op-ed piece by Bob Rawich about print newspapers dying off and what happens to our democracy when the papers are gone. And Bob is also, for 30 years, he was a senior editor in the newspaper racket, the former president of the California Society of Newspaper Editors, and the author of A Reporter's Journey, One Happy Life. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Bob Rawich. Bob, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
Appreciate it. Now, I know that you and I are kind of dinosaurs because I get three newspapers delivered to the house every day. I like the print newspaper. I use all the online stuff, but I like thumbing through the print newspaper. And frequently in this racket, the story that becomes the best segment in talk radio is the little one that doesn't show up, obviously, in a Google search. And it's just something that catches your eye. But good luck finding somebody under 55 who even knows what a print newspaper is these days. And the demographic shift is profoundly significant here.
Well, it is. The average age of newspaper readers is now between about 55 and 60 years old, which effectively means that their subscriber base is dying off literally every day, with older people passing away, but not younger people coming up to replace them.
And the attrition of the newspapers themselves is staggering. In your piece, you wrote, since 2005, 2,900 daily and weekly newspapers have closed, 130 closed last year, averaging three a week. There's been 57% cuts in newsroom employees across the industry, 1,800 communities, including 524 in California, that used to have at least one newspaper, now have none. And the rural and suburban newspapers have taken the biggest hit. So here's the question. The question is, where do people get their news? If this trend continues, and it's likely to, where do people get the news?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the trend is going to continue and the pace will probably speed up. The fact is, most people, if they're getting news at all, are getting them through social media platforms, Facebook, Apple News, whatever the social medium is that they're using. And the biggest problem that I have with that, as much as, like you, I loved the newspaper career. I was almost 29 years at the LA Times as a reporter and editor. But people who read newspapers typically spend 20 minutes or so with them. People who are reading even the digital versions of newspapers are only spending 2 or 3 minutes a day, and sometimes no more than 30 seconds to a minute on a story. So they're really getting very few stories in general and no real depth. And my concern, as your opening remarks alluded to, is the impact that has on democracy. The article made clear there have been various reputable studies that have shown as newspapers have died or vanished, the amount of social engagement that people have in their community drops dramatically, whether it's participation in charitable groups, community groups, that sort of thing. There was one particular study that Duke University conducted in which they said the local coverage of politics was down 56%. In the newspapers that they studied, school board news was down 33%, and that out of 16,000 stories that were analyzed, only about 17% were about local news. Now, that's a lot of percentages, but the bottom line is the average citizen, not even citizen, the average resident is more and more ill-informed about what's going on in their community's life. That has an impact on who they vote for that matter, whether they vote at all. And that deeply concerns me.
We're talking with Bob Rawich. His book is called, it's called A Reporter's Journey, One Happy Life. I want to go back to the social media concept because I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and it's, I don't understand why people don't get how self-defeating this is. When you talk to people, say, well, I don't need the paper. Forget about the print edition. They don't need the online edition because I get my news online. I get my news from social media. But social media gets the news from the newspaper. If you look at all of those links on Facebook or on X, whatever Elon Musk is calling it this week, or any place else that things are posted, it's all newspaper. It's not all. It could be television also. But it's all essentially traditional news outlets that have vetted stories and had the resources to send reporters to cover a story and editors, et cetera, photographers. And by getting it on, quote unquote, online, the online platform is dependent on the newspaper for the most part. And when that source of news is gone, what are we left with? And it's a real profound question. Now, I don't know if you saw, there was a letter to the editor in the Daily News, the LA Daily News, after your piece ran, that kind of represented the other part of the problem, is that in this very, very hyper-partisan time, there are people, I'm going to say on the right, who are actively rooting for newspapers to fail because it's a bunch of left-wing propaganda. And then there are obviously people on the left who looked at corporate media and or Fox News, et cetera, and write all of that off. And how do we get past this? Because we literally have people who have just rejected stories that come from sources that they have a political problem with.
Well, one of the problems that surfaced that is connected politically, but it's not a partisan issue, is that there have been other studies that show more and more people want to read only that which confirms their existing biases. It's probably 40 years ago at the LA Times, they decided at one point on the editorial page to have something called column left and column right. And they'd have Max Lerner say, talking about an issue on the left, and George Will talking about the same issue on the right. And the theory, at least on the part of the editors, was, well, this is a good way to convey to people their multiple sides to the story, let them make up their own minds. And even back then, they learned after a couple years, and they dropped that feature, that the people on the right were not reading Max Lerner, the liberal, and the people on the left were not reading George Will, who wrote more from the right.
That's right. And the irony here is that they're really, from my, and I don't have the specific years, but we had essentially about a 65-year run where newspapers attempted the concept of neutrality. They didn't make it. Obviously, human beings do it. Now AI is going to do it. But before that, newspapers were political organs of either specific candidates. Like, for instance, the New York Post back in 1800 was created by Alexander Hamilton as an anti-Jeffersonian newspaper. The Philadelphia Aurora was a Jeffersonian paper that was actually, you know, covertly funded by Jefferson to trash the administration he served in as Secretary of State and Vice President. So, you know, we actually seem to be going back to the very beginning, Bob. It's a really significant story. And people, while you're rooting for papers to fail because you're mad at them, we have to consider, look at how corrupt things are now and what's it going to be like if they ain't here. Bob's book is called A Reporter's Life, One Happy Life, A Reporter's Journey, One Happy Life. Bob, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. Bob Rawich.
You're listening to John and Ken on Demand from KFI AM 640.
McIntyre in for John and Ken. The John Cobalt Show debuts on Tuesday, and I will be here on Monday as well. And thanks for being with us. Next hour, we're going to update you on the new charges filed against Hunter Biden. And, of course, Joe Biden, President Biden, in town today, which means he loses 100,000 votes because of traffic. So we'll get into all of that next hour, as well as the horrific increase in violent threats against public officials. This is a really big story that I saw on CNN, and it's an eye-opener and it's kind of scary stuff. So we'll get into all that and we'll hopefully have some fun as well. Ryan O'Neill, you just heard TMZ reporting that Ryan O'Neill has died, the Love Story star, one of the stars of Love Story. And if you ever have the inclination, check out a film called So Fine with Ryan O'Neill and Jack Warden. Absolutely hilarious. It was sort of a parody of the Jordache jean, designer jean phenomenon. And it's very, very funny. Anyway, reports that Ryan O'Neill has passed. There was an arrest in that bizarre and scary story out in Calabasas, which rarely has. I mean, the only crime that they ever have in Calabasas is when Justin Bieber was egging his neighbor's house. But this guy from Oxnard apparently had gone down and punched a grandfather who was out, a 60-year-old grandfather who was out walking his grandson in a stroller on and apparently had committed a similar act against a teenager sometime earlier. He was arrested by the sheriff's department up in Ventura County, Santa Barbara, excuse me. So we're going to try to get you some more information on that. Anyway, this guy's name, the guy that's been arrested, is Angel Sanchez Jr., a 29-year-old resident of Santa Barbara, arrested in Oxnard at 2:15 the other day. And they're still not there. Suspicion of hate crime, because the guy that he attacked apparently was Asian, and maybe the teenager he had attacked earlier also was. So we'll try to get you more information on that. This is kind of interesting. You know, a lot of people look to their healthcare plan at work to get into shape. A lot of companies will pay for gym memberships as part of their benefits package that they offer. At KFI, they don't pay for gym membership, but what they did here, and I thought it was very thoughtful, is they sold the elevators. So you have to walk up the stairs to get to the radio station. Anyway, you do what you can. But what's interesting is a new HR industry report says that employees don't want the gym memberships. What they want is Ozempic. Yeah, why would you? If these pills really work, apparently they do. Eli Lilly just won clearance last week for Zepbound, their version of the diabetes drug Mounjaro, that will also be specifically marketed to patients with obesity in coming weeks. And of course, Wegovy is another one of these things. And Ozempic was the diabetes medication that people discovered creates appetite suppression and produces significant weight loss. It's really expensive. List prices for the drugs range from $936 a month to nearly $1,350 a month, which seems outrageous until you actually do the math. Because if you start subtracting the pizza deliveries, the DoorDash deliveries, and the hot fudge sundaes, maybe it's a push. But the bottom line is these things work, and that's what people want. So take your gym membership and shove it. HR departments, the benefits package we want are more pills. Of course, we want more pills pretty much for everything. All right, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, which is Saturday, December 9th, I'm going to be out at David K. Books, K-A-Y-E, David K. Books, a wonderful independent store right on Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills between noon and 2 p.m., and I'll be signing copies of my novel, Frank's Shadow, and I would love to say hello to you, see you, come on out, say hello, and that would be fun. Good way to spend a Saturday afternoon while you're out doing your Christmas shopping, and hey, while you're Christmas shopping, for the readers on your list, nothing makes a Christmas gift like Frank Shadow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with another hour. We're going to get into the Hunter Biden charges, and we're also going to talk with Alex Michelson, who had a chat with Gavin Newsom. He's with Gavin Newsom today. So we got lots of stuff coming up next hour.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.